This is a meeting of the National Finance Committee of the Pritchard Foundation. My name is Alex Steinberg. I am the chair. And we're about to take a roll.
Okay. Ken Aaron. Sam Agarwal.
Present.
Nick Arena.
Here.
Chris Corey. Bill Crozier.
Here.
Nick Economides.
Here.
Sabrina Jacobs.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Mansoor Sabah. Nancy Sorden. Alex Steinberg.
Present.
Okay, that's seven. That's a quorum.
Okay. I sent out a draft for an agenda. We might want to make one change on it before it's approved. But I think I need somebody to make a motion to approve it, and then we can try to amend it.
Alex, what time did you send the agenda, Mr. Chair?
About 3 hours ago, I sent it to the National Finance Committee list.
Okay. Thank you.
Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
I so move. It's Bill.
Okay. All right. So I would like to propose an amendment to the draft agenda. And my amendment is that we strike the item for the PRA budget because I think we have more important things to do, and that at 9:30 p.m., we go into closed session, and we would have, and I think that's because of the emergency nature related to the ESRT judgment, but we would of course have to vote to approve that. So that's my amendment.
Okay. Point of order.
Yes, our call.
Yeah, there is no executive session noticed, and of course these things do have to be noticed 7 days in advance. There's not one up there right now, so I don't think it's in order to go to an executive session at this time.
Well, we've done this before. I believe if we feel there is something of a time sensitive kind of issue, and we don't have time to do the normal notice requirements, then we can as an emergency go into executive session if the members of the committee agree on that.
So you're ruling that we can do it?
I'm ruling that we can do it, yes. You may challenge my ruling.
And I do so. I appeal the ruling of the chair.
Okay. Does anybody want to debate this? It is debatable.
Well, the way it works is the chair goes first, everybody else gets their say, then the chair goes the second time, and that's it. So you get to go first.
I, Yeah, I think I've already explained it. I don't think I need to explain any more. And we've gone through this a previous. So if somebody else wants to weigh in on this, you're welcome.
R. Paul.
Okay, R. Paul.
Yeah, I think it's kind of dangerous to keep doing this because we're not supposed to. And I'm concerned that, you know, anybody could say that, hey, you had some serious stuff, so you could easily have, given notice of all this and set it up already. So I'm concerned that we could end up with Pacifica getting into some sort of trouble with the CPB or the FCC regarding the open meeting rules. So I'm, kind of concerned about this stuff. So, I mean, we have another meeting on the 28th, which I can understand maybe people will say, oh, that's too late. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But we could always vote tonight to have an executive session at some future point, which I guess would probably be the 28th.
Okay. Anybody else want to weigh in on this? Okay, so let me just say one thing. I think in the future that all our future meetings from now on should include a closed session as well as an open session. And it was a mistake on my part not to have included the closed session for this meeting. But regardless of that, these are not normal times, and we are in a kind of a fiscal emergency situation. So I think it is justified that we go into a closed session. So, I think we should, if there's nobody else who wants to speak on it, let's just go take a vote on this.
Okay, Ken Aaron, Sam Agarwal. Yes is to uphold the ruling of the chair. No is to oppose the ruling of the chair. So I'll start again. Ken Aaron. Sam Agarwal.
Yes.
Nick Arena.
Yes.
Chris Corey. Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Nick Economides.
Yes.
Sabrina Jacobs.
Yeah.
R. Paul Martin, no. Mansoor Sabah.
Abstain.
Nancy Sorden. Alex Steinberg. I couldn't hear you. What?
Yes.
All right, 6-4, 1 against, 1 abstention.
Okay, so the ruling of the chair is also. Is there any further discussion on the agenda? If not, then we have to vote first on the amendment to the agenda and then vote on the agenda as a whole. On my amendment to the agenda, which is to...
Could I read what I have for it so we don't argue about it later?
Sure. Yeah.
I have to strike the PRA budget item, to strike the consideration of PRA budget item, and I'm doing this in real time fast here. Okay. There's some rhetoric I got in there for that. To strike the PRA budget, consideration of PRA budget item, and at 9:30 p.m. go to executive session.
Specifically to discuss issues related to the ESRT judgment and the financial situation specifically.
OK, Okay, to strike consideration of PRA budget and at 9:30 p.m. Eastern to go to executive session to discuss issues related to the ESRT judgment and the financial situation.
That's correct. So can we take a vote on the amendment?
Why don't you ask if there's objection?
Is there an objection to the amendment? Saying that there's no objection, the amendment is now part of the agenda as a whole, so now we have to go to a vote on the agenda as a whole. Is there any objection to the agenda as amended? Okay, hearing no objection, the agenda is approved by acclamation. And the first item of business is the approval of minutes. Do we have some minutes to approve or for?
Yes, we do. We have minutes from September 12th and October 10th.
Well, let's take them one at a time. Shall we have a motion to approve the minutes of September 12th?
I move to approve the minutes of the September 12th, 2017 meeting.
Okay. Are there any objections? All right. Hearing no objections, the minutes of September 12th meeting are approved. Do we have another motion to approve, what was the other one, October 2, I think you said?
The next one is October 10th, 2017.
October
I move 10th. To approve the minutes of the October 10th, 2017 meeting.
Okay. Do we have any objections to approving the minutes of the October 10th meeting? Hearing no objections, the minutes for October 10th are approved. And
what's the question?
Is that all there are?
Sure.
This is the question. Was Bill?
Yeah, what is,
was that the open session or executive session or both? Or October 10th?
That's the open. That's the
yeah.
Public session.
Yeah, okay.
With 10-10, wait a minute. Let's look at that a second. I think... Okay, let me get up here where we've got it stashed. Where the hell is it? Yeah, those... I don't think there was a... on 10...
Because I don't have a open session minutes I can find, but I do have executive session ones.
Hold on.
You do.
We have... Okay, we didn't have an executive session on the 10th. We had one on the 18th.
I don't think so. I've got minutes that you sent out for executive session for October 10th.
Okay, let me look at this. All right, let's go look at this. Let's see.
We're clear what we approved. It was pretty simple.
Okay, minutes of the 10th. All right, it's, let me look at it, the whole thing here. It's, okay, October 10th is, the October 10th one is public because you can see that, we did basically the same thing we just did. It was a meeting. It was a meeting that lasted mere minutes. It lasted 18 minutes, and we adjourned to an executive session. But we did not.
Okay.
We don't have minutes for that because we're not in an executive session right now. So.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Where is? Okay. It's possible. I got to look here and see if maybe I skipped. A set of minutes for that executive session, because what I have up on the Yahoo group is the 10:18 executive session. So, okay, I got to look at that. I'll do that fast. But anyway, those two are public. You can see the 10:10 one is mere minutes long.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Bill?
Yes, okay. So we just approved the open session minutes. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so I think if there's not, if there are no other minutes to approve, then we go on to the next item on our agenda. And that's a report from our CFO. Sam?
Yeah, thank you, Alex. Actually, I thought that probably I'll be making my report in the closed session. So I can just make some brief remarks if you would
sure.
like that. Yeah.
Well, there actually might be people listening in on the open session, and they might want to hear something of what we can at least tell them.
Right. That's a good point, and I feel rather bad because it has been my practice until last year that I've been very open. And I used to provide a CFO report both for the PNB and for the Finance Committee, and I had expressed those concerns quite openly. But these are very challenging times, and we all know that we have a judgment from Empire State, and there are very difficult options for payment of those, but it is not a singular item. It is a collective issue about the repayment of all the debts and about fixing Pacifica's finances, which makes it a little bit more challenging. And the difficult part is that none of the options are good. People who are aware and people who support this radio station, they definitely would like to see us healthy and strong. And maybe we'll appreciate if we wash our dirty linen behind closed doors. So they will appreciate that we should not engage in kind of speculative options which have not been decided or which have not been confirmed through various deliberative bodies and approved for implementation. So that is my dilemma. I don't want to scare anybody or don't want to create unnecessary panic, while at the same time I'm trying to draw a line to make everybody aware that these are difficult times. I also want to make everybody kind of sure that it's the liquidity, the cash liquidity, which is the challenge. We have assets on our books which can satisfy all the debts, and we can be healthy. So the only issue is that which assets we liquidate, and we can find enough capital, enough both the long-term capital and the operating capital to sustain our operations and to grow from here. It is so welcoming and refreshing to see that in spite of all the challenges, a number of stations are having very good fund drives. So the listener support, their dedication, their commitment to our cause is very appreciative. So would like to discuss this and deliberate this in the closed session, and hopefully we will come to some consensus how to move Pacifica organization forward. So let me stop at this point.
Okay. It's kind of difficult to discuss this in open session except in general terms, but if somebody wants to ask a question that would, you know, in sort of general terms without getting into
details that should be discussed in closed session, you're welcome to put yourself on the stack right now.
Our Paul for stack.
Okay, our Paul. Go ahead.
All right. First thing is, what's the situation with the WBAI budget? I know you have somebody somewhere else preparing the WBAI budget. Nobody here has seen it yet, and the general manager has told me he hasn't seen it yet. So what's happening with that?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I think I had informed in the last meeting that we are sending one person from the national office to the station to obtain some credible information. We know that there's no business manager there at the station, so it's difficult to produce timely information. And because of the Empire State judgment, we have to review all the past dues and make our accruals current. So it's a pretty intense job that we have to do. We had started doing the budgets for the BI, but then we had to suspend because of so many other urgent matters that came up. So we will resume that fairly soon. At this time, I cannot provide a firm date because the staff is so busy at the national office. But I'm aware of that, and I will take up fairly soon.
Okay. Is there anybody else have a question or follow-up or anything?
This is Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
I just want to say, well, I appreciate all the work that Sam and all the people in the national office are doing, because it's a huge amount of work to take care of, and it's gotten worse because of the judgment having to do with the Empire State Realty Trust and all the other things. So, anyway, just want to say thanks to them, all of them.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I just would like to make a quick comment that I could not prepare a detailed report. I have sent one report, which is marked confidential, but I'm sending out one more, a very detailed report on the status of different compliance matters and audits and budgets and everything. And I would encourage that, again, that will be confidential, but that will be that can be discussed at the closed session of all the local station boards. So I'm trying to inform as many people as possible so that they can have a good awareness of some of the good things that we are doing and some of the challenges that we are facing.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate your work.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, is there any further discussion or questions? Okay, if not, we can move on to the next item on the agenda, and that's new business. Does anybody have anything for new business?
Arpo,
go ahead.
Yeah. We're going to go to an executive session, and while we're in that, we really should not be discussing stuff that shouldn't be executive session business. And so I would encourage that if there is anything that we want to do that wouldn't be executive session, people should get it out now. Because if I'm going to say right now, if we start getting into stuff that shouldn't be an executive session during executive session, I want to call points of order all over it. So if anybody has anything to say that's not executive session, we should really just put it all out now. I'll also point out it's only 3 minutes past the hour, and the executive session is set for 27 minutes from now.
Yeah, we have some time if people want to pursue any, you know, if you have any other questions about budgets or anything like that, stuff that doesn't have to be an executive session. Now is a good time to bring it up.
This is Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
Yes, I want to remind everybody, I guess especially the treasurers, that, you know, to please get the budget evaluation worksheets in at least a few days before our next meeting if we're going to be looking over the, you know, your budget for them. You can send it to all of the NFC. That would be very helpful. And I think KPFT's is about ready to be reviewed, but... Actually, did we already review it? I'm blanking out. I know we reviewed it locally back a long time ago at KPFT.
Well, if it doesn't make a bill, if it doesn't make it to the Finance Committee list, I don't know about it.
Yeah, okay. So I guess that needs to be done too. And any other budgets, of course, also that are ready or that you think are ready, please get those worksheets filled out and send it to us in advance also, at least 3 days in advance.
Okay. Anybody else?
Question?
Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm wondering if we're going to be seeing the I know there's the international offices doing a lot at this point, but I'm wondering if we're going to be seeing the P&Ls kind of soon and maybe some other stuff, because especially those of us without business managers, it's very hard to tell what's going on, especially if we have local finance committee meetings where no management shows up and we just are not getting information. So I'm wondering if given the crunch at the national office, if there's going to be any kind of ordinary stuff going to be put out anytime soon.
Yeah, so today I had sent to PNB and the National Finance Committee the year-to-date, August 31st statements, the income statement. We don't prepare the balance sheets, but regular financial statements that we prepare, we have been pretty current. We are already working on September, and hopefully we should be able to close that in about a week or so. So I would say that... we are able to provide, in spite of all the different extra work that we have been able to provide the financial statements pretty regularly. And that we will continue, because that is something that the stations need. And their local station boards, they need this information for their review.
Okay, I see that came in not long ago. That's to August 31st.
Yes.
So we have it to August 31st. We don't have through September 30th yet, right?
Right. We should be able to provide that in about a week or so.
Okay, that'll be good. Thank you.
I have a question, Sam.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Can you tell us what is the status of the audit for 2016 and or 2017? Where are we with that?
Yeah, so we had to suspend for 2016. Let me step back a little bit. After we completed our audits for 2015, that was pretty fast and pretty rigorous, we took about a month to tidy up our books, because there were many loose ends after the audit was finished. And I think I had stated publicly that there was a lot of cleanup work that had to be done of the accounts payable. So we had to wrap up our internal bookkeeping and tie out all the balances for 2015. And we got done somewhere around September, time frame, September, middle of September around, and had just started preparing work for fiscal 16. After that, we were kind of challenged to prepare very differently for other contingencies that we were planning. So the preparation for fiscal year 16 audit got held up, and now we are just kind of resuming that activity again because we got done with the preparation work for other contingencies that we, I had mentioned, and hopefully we will resume that again. But the problem that we are seeing is that there's a great amount of work that has to be done before we can invite the auditors. The practice is that they need all the schedules ready and almost everything done before they commence the audit, because everything has to be uploaded on their website. So I will talk to the business managers again and see where the status is, and I will try to get together an update in the next couple of weeks, the status where we are, and resume the preparation work again. But to tell you that the timeline has been shifted a little bit, it takes about 3 months to complete the audit at the minimum. So the Thanksgiving break that is coming up and the Christmas break that is also due, that is going to put some more challenges in this whole process. I will provide more details as we become closer. But this is the primary reason why I am writing such a detailed report, to give a good assessment to everybody, because it is not the financial statements audit that we are dealing with. We are also handling the retirement plan audit, the pension plan audit, which was due for last 2 years, and the 403B audit. That is also a compliance issue, and we are a bit late in those. So to say the least, National Office is definitely swamped with a lot of compliance matters. So those also have to be wrapped up, because we are getting late in filing deadlines. We are already late in filing those forms and returns. So it's a combination of things that is kind of pushing us behind.
Let me just follow up. So if I understand you correctly, you're saying that we lost about a month of preparation time for the audit due to other contingencies that had come up. And from my guesses, from the timeline, you're saying 3 months, that we cannot expect the 2016 audit to be completed before the end of March 2018. Is that about right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, again, this is a challenge that I have, that the moment I put a date or put a number, I start getting emails so many different calls that say this is not acceptable. It's very difficult for me to explain what is acceptable and what is not, because you have to look at in the context of the things that we are dealing with. And I think that PNB and National Finance Committee probably will have to get together, put together some plan, not only to remove this backlog, but how to stay current. Because by the time that we complete our 2016 audit, the 2017 audit will start getting late. So it's a vicious cycle that we have not been able to come out.
Okay. I know this. This is not exactly something you can answer in a couple of minutes, but do you have any idea how we can get out of this vicious cycle?
That's a good question, actually, Alex, and it's very important because of my professional obligations, too. I don't know if I have enough authority or if I have enough leverage to influence decision-making. What I can do is very firmly and very strongly put out statements, like I'm doing, that this is not acceptable to anyone. And collectively, we have to think how we can get out of this we definitely need extraordinary resources to be put not only on, say, at the national office, but at the stations too, because if the stations don't have business managers, it is very difficult to get timely information and so many other things that are needed for the audit and for regular day-to-day information. So it's a joint,
yeah, well, I, Sam,
joint
I,
effort.
I would certainly agree that some of the stations are understaffed. I'm not sure I would say that about all the stations, but certainly WBAI is grossly understaffed. I think WPFW is in the same boat.
One thing that I would say that this I was writing in my report also, that if we have to catch up with the backlog, it takes twice the amount of time and the amount of labor that is needed to complete the task as compared to if you are doing the current work. I mean, everybody will understand this and appreciate that if you have to balance your checkbook from past 2 years or 3 years, how difficult or how hateful that job would be. So that is the biggest challenge, apart from hiring and keeping skilled staff. Staff does not want to do those things. They have other options. So to train them and to keep them motivated to do this job is pretty hard.
And this is Bill.
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I know the national office is really understaffed, and you mentioned WBAI, but yeah, one of the problems we have is because they're catching up with a lot of extra work that's accumulated over years and audits and all this other stuff, and just, you know, they have very few people, and that's limited because of central service revenue. So that's what's limiting the number of people we can have in the national office right now. So that's something we got to get past. So we got to figure out how we can get the central services up. The payments, that is, not necessarily the levy, but the, you know, how much they're paying. I must admit, by the way, on the, you know, the spreadsheet, the income statement, of course, this just goes through August, but that's most of the fiscal year. But, you know, KPFK looks like they've been doing the best. So congratulations to the people there for, you know, helping to turn things around.
Nikki, can I let us know that?
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Sam, I got a question. Would it be helpful at all if the national office took over the finances for the stations that don't have business managers?
Well, this has been a recommendation made by the auditors. If you look at the audit report for 2015, they have made this recommendation quite clear that it is not just the basic accounting that is needed, but it's a complex general ledger accounting for which it's very difficult to hire part-time staff or unskilled staff. No offense to anyone, but those things are just not possible at the very basic level. So it will be much more feasible that if those functions are centralized, because you just cannot hire adequate staff at those stations which don't even have the need for a full-time paid staff there. And that is a dilemma that, say, we are facing, that it is a collective decision from the national office and from the National Finance Committee and from the PNB to make this decision and to entrust the national office with this responsibility, because otherwise it becomes for lack of better words, it becomes a political fight. I have tried that approach in the past, and if the acceptance is not coming from members, then the objective is lost then. So it has to be a joint initiative.
I'm sorry, could you elaborate on what you mean by joint initiative?
Well, we are ready to take that that burden because we are, we meaning National Office, because we spend so much time in trying to make things work. So, and we can hire people if resources are given to us. I can tell you that this much, that at our level, we cannot work with the basic or mid-level staffing, because the issues that we are facing are beyond that. We are dealing with the skill. We can work with skill-level staff only. Again, no offense to anybody, but this is the nature of the problems that we deal with. But we have multiple people who can do different kind of activities, both the basic level of accounting and the complex level of accounting. So it is much more efficient if we handle that here at the national office instead of at the station. The issue is that if the stations want local control, then the members don't appreciate this view. And I have not been able to understand why they don't appreciate, because there's nothing special that we can do or can't do. But there's a tension there. So that is why I'm saying that it's a joint effort between the governing body, the National Finance Committee and the PNB and the National Office, that has to step in.
Great, thank you.
Okay, are there any other questions or any comments?
Arpal,
go ahead.
Yeah, Sam, you've mentioned about this pension and 401 audits and having to fund it and all of that, and you've mentioned in the past that there would be very serious penalties if that stuff doesn't get done by a deadline. Is that deadline sort of really near when those penalties could hit, or is it kind of far away? Where exactly is that? When do those penalties hit us?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Yeah, the penalties will definitely hit us because we are past the deadline, both in terms of the 403B audit and for the retirement plan. We are past about maybe a couple of months now, and we have not been able to file the returns that are needed. So there's another aspect to it, that we have not been current with the retirement plan contributions that we are supposed to pay to the employees. So there is a double kind of whammy, that we will be hit with both the penalties and the interest on two counts, lack of compliance and lack of fulfilling our obligations for payment of those retirement contributions.
So we've passed the deadline. So has anybody hit us with any of this yet, or when will they hit us, do you think?
Yeah, so that will trigger when we will file the returns. If you file your income tax return, if it is late, if you have not paid any taxes, anything, I mean, that may be first trigger point. But generally, I mean, the software will calculate that those penalties. In our situation, it's the auditors and the plan administrators have not been able to give us an estimate what those penalties will be, because it depends upon the severity of the situation. And we will make a representation to the authorities. We will try to justify that we were late because of these reasons. But we have been told that the penalty could be anywhere. I mean, like, just for giving an example, $100 a day to $1,000 a day. It's so difficult to distinguish which bracket or which scale we will fall into.
Sam, I have a follow-up question. These penalties are, who is assessing these penalties? Is this a government agency or what?
Yeah, so these returns are filed. I'm not sure, but this is the Internal Revenue Service requirements, the IRS requirements. They are also governed.
Nancy's here.
Welcome aboard, Nancy.
And they are governed by a Division of Labor because that controls the retirement plan contributions. So I have to look into that to be more specific.
Okay. Any other questions? Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, pension fund auditor is really going to be giving us the details on that because they're the experts on this, and it's rather complex. And I have been telling the GMs for months that we need to be preparing to pay this because we have several years worth of unfunded pension liabilities. It's not just this year; it's several years worth. So once our auditor figures out what we need to pay, then we need to plan to do that. But I know some of the stations, their cash flow has been so tight. They don't have the money, and so that's another problem. I think KPFA and K have it. I'm not sure about the others.
Do you have any idea when we'll know what these penalties are?
If I can make a quick comment, actually, that is one more important thing, is if we can, and that is what I have been working on, if we can have a management's plan how we will address these issues, and if that can be included in the audit report while they are concluding their audit audits for the retirement plan, that will be much more acceptable, and I believe that will reduce or mitigate the penalties that will be assessed for our deficiencies, because otherwise it will be construed that we don't have a plan, and in that case, perhaps the penalties will be much higher as compared to being on the lower side. So that is where I and Bill have been meeting with the general managers to come up with a plan and to at least talk to the unions and come to some agreement. Because if we can represent to the auditors that this is a standard practice. I mean, it goes in the financial statements also that if we have any deficiencies, but if the management is addressing those deficiencies and they can demonstrate that they are actively working on that, it is much better than having no plan.
Sam, I agree we need a plan, but I think we need to at least have some ballpark figure as to what the penalties are and when they're due in order to decide what kind of plan we need.
Yeah, I will be talking to the auditors soon, and I will definitely update what they think.
Request for information, Nancy.
Go ahead, Nancy.
What penalties are you referring to?
We're talking about the penalties on the pension, the late pension payment.
Penalties paid to who?
I couldn't hear you. What did you say?
Who are the penalties paid to?
Well, we just went through this. We're not entirely sure the auditors are going to tell us that. We don't have the details right now as the amount or the due date or even where the penalties are coming from yet.
And how do we know we have penalties?
That's another good question. I think this is something that the auditors are going to tell us.
Sam mentioned the IRS, in which case it's going to be the federal government if they're involved, which I guess they probably are. So
it's not completely clear to me who is the assessor of these penalties.
Well, the state of California or the United States government would be in.
Who told us we have penalties to pay? The auditors?
It is both the auditors and the retirement plan administrators that they have told. And 5500 is the form that has to be filed. So if anybody has any more curiosity, I mean, they can look up what are the governing bodies and how the penalties are assessed.
Okay. We're coming up to the time certain for adjournment of the open session and to go into closed session. Well, we have one more minute, according to my clock. Another question?
If the chair would like us to have executive sessions a lot, maybe the chair would like to make a motion that we schedule executive sessions. We could do one fast and say schedule one for the 28th at whatever time you think is a good time.
Well, I'm not sure that requires a motion, but I'll be glad to make it. Yeah, I think we should, from now on, every meeting, every scheduled meeting of the National Finance Committee should include a closed session. If we don't need to have a closed session, we can simply cancel. But let's be on the safe side and notice closed session.
Yeah,
I'll make that as a motion.
Could I suggest that we do it for the 28th and then figure out how to word it for the others? Because you need a time in there. You can't just say, sometime we'll have, you know, we need to say a date and a time. So could I suggest you say it's for the 28th,
let's
we do it at a certain time?
At 28th, we'll go into a closed session. I think not. It depends on whether we have to consider a budget. If we don't have to consider a budget, then I think we could go to closed session at 9:30. If we have to consider a budget, then we'll need at least an hour and a half, and that's probably being generous. So let's say either 9:30 or 10. I don't know. I can't give you an exact time.
We can't enter that in the calendar. I have to enter this in a calendar, so I need a time certain.
Give it a time certain of 10 for the closed session.
Okay, so the motion is to go to have an executive session meeting on the 28th at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, and the open session at the normal time is 8:30 Eastern.
Yeah, it's already posted, yeah.
Okay.
I guess you should ask if there's any objections.
Are there any objections? Okay, I don't hear any objections. So okay, that motion passes. Will you be able to take care of that, Art Paul?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to hear a motion to adjourn, and we can go into closed session. Can we get like a 3 or 4 minute break before we start the closed session?
Yeah, motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Who made the motion?
Mansoor. Okay. Is there any objection to adjourning? Okay, so we'll adjourn, but we're going to resume in closed session. 9:32? Can we make it 9:35 or 9:36 at the latest, okay? You can stay on the call. Just mute yourself or hang up and call back in 3 minutes, whatever you prefer. I'm going to stay on the call. Okay, so this open session is adjourned.